let's go ahead and turn to some scripture, and I'm going to start talking about some stuff that all pertain to love. All pertain to love, and I guess if I were to give a title, because Debbie always asks me what the title of the message is, and if I don't give her one many days or a week before the sermon, you could just see the stress on her. She's like, well, I don't know what to put in the loop. I just don't know what. And I go, I don't know what to put in the loop other than I'm going to be talking about love. And but here's the title. It's better than chocolate. It's better than chocolate. Now, I don't know about you, but I like chocolate. And I like, there's a lot of things that I like. Cookies and, oh, ha, ha. So let me see. Is there any young people? I haven't touched or breathed or licked on these. So is any of you guys want a piece of chocolate? You sure? You do? All right, I'll let you guys have one right there. You just pick one. There you go. Psych. No, I'm teasing. No, I'm serious. Go ahead, grab some. Look, I used to do this with my girls when they were little. I would like take, okay, maybe I still do it. It's like a little piece of something sweet, and then right before they open it up, I just kind of go, oh, and then I eat it. Yeah, you could just, you guys really took a lot. Look at that. Honey, baby doll, do you want one of those? You didn't want one of those? Like, you want one of these? Do you like chocolate? You're vegan or anything like that? No, okay. I don't know if vegans eat chocolate or not. Any of you guys like chocolate? Pam, do you like chocolate? She's like, I like chocolate. Gary, a man after my own heart. Look at this. Man, it's good. I don't know. Now, who of you? Yeah, you can take the other half of that one. Do you like the crunchy or the chewy kind? Do you want some chocolate? No, thank you for resisting temptation. That's awesome. Anybody else like chocolate over here? Look at this. Oh, look at that. Saying it like that. Man, where's the, what one? What one are you looking for? The creamy ones. Crumbly ones. Somebody went, ew. You know, that's why life is like a box of chocolates. There's a little different one for every single person. That's awesome. So, oh, is my favorite. You don't do chocolate? Mmm, come on, man. Look at that. This is good stuff. Here you go. Look at this. Here you go. Do you like chocolate? Look at that. See, now, I don't want to hear about any boy getting you chocolate at Valentine's Day this year. That's just scary right now. Your dad and I will find out where he lives, and we'll go visit him. And so, look at this. You like chocolate? You? No? Look. There you go, Julie. The rest is for you. So, oh, Lord, Julie. So, oh, man. What's better than chocolate? What is better than chocolate? Definitely God is better than chocolate. But I'll tell you something that's sweeter in the relationships in my life than just a little piece of candy that I chew on. And I think it's in part why Valentine's chocolates even exist. It's the words that proceed from my lips. You know, a lot of times as a husband, if I've not been real sweet with my words to Petraea, I can rely on a box of chocolates to make up for it. Guilty laughs. I know. It's like, maybe I wasn't as sweet as I should, but you know what? That's why God invented heart boxes with chocolate. I'll just let that do the job for me. You know, and there are times in other areas in my life where the words that I allow to come out either produce a sweetness in the atmosphere or a bitter yuck in the atmosphere. And I don't know about you, but even in my friend circles, there have been friends that whenever they're around me, it's like, it's not too long before I feel yucky because not much sweet is coming out of their mouth. And then at some point, I'm just like, I got to go find something that's better than this. And then I got to go around a person that a little bit sweeter stuff comes out of them. And I don't know, sometimes you're working around people where, boy, it just drains you because nothing sweet comes out of them. And so then it's like when you come home, you're just glad to get away from the one zone so you can get to a place where there's sweetness. It's really sad, though, when you're at that place where you want to have sweetness there in the atmosphere and it's not so sweet. Like the bitter has crept in somehow. Junk is flowing out of people's mouths. And it's like, how did that happen? It's not meant to be. And in the house of God, there's no discrepancy. It should be just as sweet here as God has intended everywhere. And the same mouth that's functioning right here in this room, your mouth should function the same when it's outside of God's house. That mouth is no different just because of its location. I can already tell there's at least one or two in the house that are going, man, it's hot in here. Son. Ah, he didn't give me any chocolate. Man, you know, there's something already going. I know where this message is going, and I'm not really comfortable. I think the game is about to start. It's Super Bowl today. I need to start to go. I'll get some appetizers going. So turn with me real quick to what I will say is our key scripture today. Psalms 19, verse 14. Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. What is sweeter or what is better than chocolate? Verse 14, Psalms 19 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Oh, praise God. The words and what I'm meditating on. Because Jesus clarified in the New Testament, he said, it's out of the abundance of your heart, what you've been growing and stewing and cooking inside your heart, your soul, that's what comes out of your mouth. And so it's very, very important that the psalmist does this and says, what are you thinking and what are you meditating on? Let it be pleasing to God and let the words of your mouth be pleasing to God. And at the end of the day, if he is my rock and my redeemer, the only question that I should be concerned with is what comes out of this mouth. Is it sweet to him? Is it a box of candy for my Savior? Does he look at what comes out of my mouth and goes, now that's what I'm talking about. That's some sweet stuff right there. I like that. If he likes it, then I like it. It's like the commercial. If Mikey likes it, then I like it. I heard this story one time. There was a particular nobleman in the time of the Renaissance who wanted a tour of a brand new factory for pottery. So this nobleman comes and asks the owner of this factory to give him a tour of the pottery and all the different stuff and all the vases and stuff like that. And as he's walking through, some of the qualities and the characteristics of this particular nobleman were very apparent. He was a vulgar man. He was a vulgar man, vile in so many ways. Everything that he was, it looked beautiful on the outside. He had all of the wonderful things on the outside that you should have as a nobleman. But if you listen to the words coming out of his mouth, he was just profane and vulgar. He talked about people in vulgar ways. He had all kinds of obscene things that he would discuss. He had a sense of humor that was twisted and just wrong. And as he walked around the plant, he made these comments and he did all these different things. And lo and behold, this particular owner had a young kid that he was grooming that worked in this little pottery industry that he had. He was 13 years old and he was, in this owner's mind, he was just the perfect kid. Good parents, good stock, low caste, all this kind of stuff, but just gold. And he loved this young man because he was so respectful. He was so kind. Everything he wanted in a leader was in this young man of 13 years old. He looked up to people and he had great respect. And so as he knew this nobleman was coming, he was on his toes. He was excited. But the sad reality was as he began to interact and listen, at first he was appalled by what he saw of this nobleman. He was shocked. He's not even heard some of the things that were coming out of his mouth. But as the minutes progressed and he spent more time around him, he began to have a shift in his perspective. And he thought, if this man in his position and station in life is able to do that and be all of that, well, then maybe I've got it wrong. And instead of being appalled, he began to kind of say, well, maybe it's not as wrong. And he began to be entertained by what it was. And before those minutes were up, the owner of the pottery plant saw this young teen boy smile and just react pleasantly to the vulgarity and all of the stuff that was going on from this nobleman. It just broke his heart. And as they were leaving, they were going out past his little office, the owner's office, and the nobleman wanted to see the present that he had prepared for him. It was this very, 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 very special vase. And so as they got to the office, this owner picks up the vase and he begins to describe all of its intricacies, all the different stuff that he had done and how many years it took him to perfect all the art that went into it. And the nobleman was just elated. He thought, what a great gift. I really do prize it. And just before the shop owner gives it to the nobleman, he lifts it up above his head and he bashes it against the ground. And the nobleman just flies off the handle. He's irate. And he's so irate. Why did you do? What are you doing? He didn't understand the concepts. And in a moment of clarity and boldness, that shop owner looks at the nobleman right in the eyes and he declares this to him. He says, "Why are you offended? In a brief moment, I broke what took years to cultivate and to train and to produce something so beautiful. It took me years, but I chose to break it in just a minute. And why are you so offended when you, in a moment, broke what those parents took years to build? For in a moment, you shattered everything that those good parents built into that teen." And I look at this and I think, here's why this is appropriate for us today. We serve a God who is the Redeemer of our souls. And if we take that seriously, we will not forget it when we're out and about in our communities. Because if people in our communities know that you are a saved person, a believer of Jesus Christ, but they hear you drop a profane word, or they hear you slip up in your vernacular and you laugh at a dirty joke that someone else has done, in that moment, what is casual to you just broke something that took years to build. A reputation of Christ. The message that Jesus transforms a life, just not your own mouth. Oh, see, we forget this stuff. And in those moments, I'll just be frank with you. It doesn't do any good to claim sloppy agape grace for yourself. It doesn't. What should be more appropriate is a conviction of soul that makes you feel like you just broke something sacred. You just marred the reputation of Christ so that you could feel comfortable with your mouth. And the real sadness is often out of the abundance of our heart. That's why we feel comfortable with that. So the real question is, what's going on inside our hearts? Is Christ really the Lord of our heart? Is he? And so then things have to change in us. And so this Valentine's, what I want is, I don't want more religion. I want a sweeter and I want a bigger love. And I want to know what it is that God requires out of this heart. Because it says very clearly in Scripture, what I do with this mouth is everything. What I do with this mouth is everything. I can light fires, James says. This little mouth can turn on a blaze that just burns and consumes up everything. But I can also, with this same mouth, bring fresh water to weary souls that are dying for lack of wisdom or instruction. And I can bring that with this mouth. I can take this mouth and I can encourage and build up my fellow believer, or I can undermine the very work of Christ in their life. I don't want to do that. So this mouth can build or it could tear down. Why? Why has God given us such a dangerous weapon as a tongue? Why did he do this? It's just scary and it's loaded all the time. I'm telling you, that's frightening, isn't it? You wouldn't do that with a gun, but we take no precautions with our mouth. And it is constantly right there, ready to be fired, to either bring life or to bring death. And I look at that and I think it's so important to do what Psalms 141:3 says. Set a guard over my mouth. Oh, Lord, keep a watch. Put a door over my lips. I would love for that to happen in such literal terms that when we go to say something that is not going to do what God wants done, that we would just be frozen. Can you imagine how funny that would be if it was in a movie?
It would be a great comic bit. It'd be like, hey, it would just be funny if that could really happen in life. But you know what? God has given you the choice to be a participant with his will, to put that guard over your mouth. You've got to be the one to say, okay, all right, Lord, I'm going to help you put the fence up. I'm going to help shut the door, throw away the key, all that kind of stuff. It's very, very important. I was stricken by a story by General George Washington. George Washington, what's he on? Is he on the quarter, right? Isn't he on the quarter? Is he on the dollar bill? Who's on a $10 bill? Hamilton. So Hamilton, there's, I don't know who all the other presidents are. Who's Jeff? What's Jefferson on? $100 bill? $5 bill? $20 bill? That's good. Who's on the $100 bill? It's been a long time since I've seen one of those. Benjamin? What was the snap about? She goes, this is Benjamin. Man, you got some. I ain't even seen that kind of attitude since I've been in the city. Man, I like it. Here's what George Washington says. George Washington, in 1776, he put out this directive for the army. He wrote this because of something he noticed. He said, as general, I have been very saddened to be informed that the foolish, wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing, a vice heretofore, has been little known in the army. He has not watched some of the military movies that I've tried to watch. Oh, my goodness. I have this TV Guardian. It's been a while since we've been able to use it because of technology. And the TV Guardian, anybody ever see the TV Guardian? It's this little black box that you run everything through, and it works off closed captioning, and it will bleep out and silence momentarily all of the things that are considered profanity. And you could have a setting so for very loose, moderate, and restrictive. And it's very hilarious because if you try and watch the majority of military movies on any of those, it's largely silent. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch all these guys. No sound. And you see their mouth going and all kinds of stuff, but there's no music, no nothing. And then instead you see on the captions all these things with little bleepy marks, and you're going, this is a great movie. It's so funny. This is a great movie. But he put this directive, and he said, because of all of this, which was little known heretofore in the American army, but it is growing in fashion. And he hopes that the officers will, by example, as well as by influence, endeavor to put it in check, so that we can have little hope, if this doesn't get addressed, we can have little hope of the blessing of heaven in or on our arms if we insult it by our own impiety and folly. So, and added to this, this vice is so average and low, without any temptation whatsoever, that every man of sense and character should detest and despise it. Wow. I think it's funny. It makes me think of, you know, the differences of where we're at. There, I don't know many jokes. I'm not a good joke teller. My grandpa was an awesome joke teller. He always had jokes. But here's one. So this farmer, he had a little set of mules that would pull the cart and stuff, and he had to go into town. So this is obviously a ways back in time. So he goes into town, pulls the mules all in, leaves his wife at home. But then he just was so slow in coming back. He just hardly never came back. Most of the day went on until finally he did arrive, and his wife was so concerned and so frustrated, she came out to the farmer and said, honey, what in the world was wrong? I mean, it took you so long. You left early in the day, and then you just seemed to never come back. And he says, I know. I just don't know what to tell you other than when I got into town, I turned around and I saw the preacher standing there, and he needed a ride, so I picked him up. And from that moment on, I couldn't talk to the mules. And they didn't know where to go. They didn't know what to do. I wonder why. So I remember one time I was in a job, and before the trainer knew who I was, because it was a part-time job, I had a other job. Before the trainer knew who I was, this is what happened. He turned on the radio,
and he had satellite on the radio, and he turned it to the Playboy channel. And I went, I don't necessarily like that. And he goes, well, it's my car. I get to listen to what I want to do. And I said, well, I really don't like that. So I put in my earbuds, and I'm trying to drown whatever he's listening out of that. And then on the way to our second or third job, he says, I got to stop off somewhere. This man was a married man. So we stop off at this place. He gets back in the car, and I said, oh, was that your house? And he goes, nah, that's my woman's house. I said, oh, okay. So he had to stop by his girlfriend's house. And I'm like, it's not good either. Couple stops later, we had 7 stops that day. Couple stops later, we pull up and it's a house, and lo and behold, it's one of the deacons from my church. And so when we step out the car, here's this man, and he is just loudmouth, profane, and just out there. He's up there, and he's going right up, and he shakes the hand of the guy, our customer, and then the customer sees me, and I'm just waiting for it. I'm just waiting for it. And he goes, pass the bin! And I have never seen a black man turn white until that moment. And I'll tell you, for the rest of the day, he didn't say anything. The radio was off, and I believe at this moment he felt like fire was going to come down from on high and consume him. He had no idea who was sitting next to him. And I think of that, and I have no idea what's happened with this guy, but you know what? I hope my life was a testimony. I know he probably has never forgot that day. It's amazing what happens when we're not living truthfully and we have a hypocritical mouth. It's amazing. And so what do? We have to have a change of heart and let the Holy Spirit work in us so that something else can come out of our mouth that's beautiful. Now, I don't have too much time to really talk today, but I'm going to tell you this. Let me turn over. I'm skipping whole page 1. I'm going straight to the big one. If I had my way today, what I would do is I would not spend hours telling you what we're not supposed to do with our mouth. Because I believe the Holy Spirit can give you that instruction and conviction. And I'm not that good at making a list anyway. I remember one person asked me at times in church, he said, just give me a list of what I can let my daughter wear and what she can't. And I said, I can't do that. I just pray that you're led by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I said, if you want me to give you a list, it's just legalism. How about I start with a list of what I want you to do in this area of your life, in this area of your life, in this area. You know, God gave us 10. We messed that up, stretched it into 300. And in order to simplify it, he gave us 2. And I said, and you're asking me for a list? How about you just do with what you got already? You know, and just try and live by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to spend my time giving you a list of what to do and not to do with your mouth. But what I can say is this. God has given us some specific activities that I believe if you make it your ambition to do those, it's going to have less and less time spent doing other things. So what are the most important things you can do to with your mouth that will actually be the best thing that I can say to you today? It's this. Praise. Praise. Let the praises of God be continually on your lips. Praises of God continually be on your lips. What happens? You know, it's like if you can imagine a container filled with all kinds of goopy dirt and junk like that, that container, you and I are that container. That container is a vessel that is meant to have drinking water in it, but it's dirty. What do we do with containers like that? In our house, we put them in a dishwasher. And it's amazing. And what happens in that dishwasher? Water flushes it, doesn't it? More and more fresh water, clean water, with even a detergent, gets in there and it works away the dirt. In your life and in my life, what it is that we have to do, we can't think of all of these things to abstain from. That'd just leave a big old void in our life. Instead, let a water begin to fill you up so much so that it begins to flood out all the other junk. Put your energies on praising God more than stopping saying the F-bomb. I bet you start praising God more and more, the F-bomb will start going less and less. It just will. Now that's the extreme. What about just negativity? If you're a negative person and you have a hard time and you've tried many, many times, you've got to stop being negative. Well, stop focusing on the negative and will you begin to just praise? Praise.
if instead of getting up in the morning and saying something negative, why don't you get up in the morning and stretch your praise? Be like, oh, thank Jesus for a great day. And even if in your mind you're still thinking, but it's snowing outside and it's crazy cold, and I sure wish I was in. Shut up. Don't do that. Do the praising instead. Just do the praising instead. You can, it'll still be in your brain, all that other negative stuff, but if you make it your habit to begin to praise more and more, it'll begin to flush your mind and your heart. Now, this might feel very foreign to us. It might feel very, very foreign to us. This isn't Pollyannish either. This isn't just say the good things and say the happy things. No, this is praise. It's not positive thinking here. This is praise. It's got to be founded in who God is and in the character and the minds of God and all the stuff about God. This isn't just happy thought and wishing thinking. That's, I don't even know who does that. I'm trying to think. That's like weird carnal people. It's like what's that commercial, Angels Forever in Appleton? How many have seen that stupid commercial on TV ever? Angels Forever, happy things. This guy is so weird. He kind of gives me the eebie-jeebies in his sense. And I don't know, but in my mind, I put him in the category of feel good, whatevers, light of candles, and get a happy saying and put it on your wall and do this stuff. And I look at it and I go, he does it. I don't know if he's a believer or not. He couldn't be a believer. Look at that. It's crazy. And I mean, but he's like, have good things, have good vibes, get good karma. And I'm like, that's not what I'm talking about. That's astral projection and weird funky junk. But what is praise? Praise is factual. You got to say what is about God. Say what is true about what God said about you. And begin to practice that. And if it's new to you, well, that's why you go to the Psalms. That's why you go to Scripture. And you find good things to train you in how to praise God. That's so powerful. I love it. Now, I can't make this a law. I really can't. Anymore, I heard there's a representative in Minnesota. Years and years and years ago, he came up with an act. This was the Truth in Government Act. This is what this representative came up with. The Truth in Government Act. And it was to be a law that he brought up to vote. And this law was going to make it illegal for a government official to lie to a private citizen. And I know it's funny, isn't it? It's funny. And the reason he said this is needed is because at that time there was a major hypocrisy going on. It was illegal for a private citizen to lie to a government official. So if you were ever on the record or if there was a government official asking you a question, you could actually be prosecuted if, as a private citizen, you lied to them. But flip it on its ear, and if that government official lied to you as a private citizen, there were no laws. I think, man, you think it passed? It didn't. It didn't pass. And I look at it and I'm like, yeah, that's true. I sure wish something like that was going on today. They probably wouldn't enforce it. So I just look at it. I think it's so sad. So we can't make this a law. It has to be something in our hearts. It really does have to be something in our hearts. Hebrews 13 and 15 says this, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. The fruit of lips that confess his name. Psalms 34, 1 says, I extol, I lift up, I magnify the Lord at all times. His praise is always on my lips. Wow. I think that's so, so important for us. So, so important for us. Would you stand with me today? We're going to close. I really do believe that in addition to just praise has probably one of the best soundtracks that praise could be played to. And the soundtrack I'm referring to is the gospel soundtrack. So if you struggle for finding words to praise God, listen to the soundtrack of the gospel message. And I want you to play that soundtrack everywhere in your life. When you're at work, when you're at home. In fact, everything,
letters in the New Testament tell us that we're supposed to live a life that doesn't demean or corrupt the gospel's reputation. You have to live a life worthy of the gospel. That means the words out of your mouth have to be worthy of the gospel soundtrack. So if someone were to hear the gospel soundtrack played in your life, they wouldn't compare it to previous things out of your mouth and say, hey, those two songs don't sound like they're from the same artist. They've got to sound like they're from the same artist. So what you say and how you say it to your spouse, to your kids, to your coworkers, or everything cannot detract from the gospel truth. So if you're struggling in this area, put more focus on the gospel message. Sing more times about what God's done for you. Magnify, talk about it all the time. Talk about what the implications of the gospel are in your life. Talk about the hope it brings in your life. And if you feel like it's a song that's been too repetitive and now it's just monotonous, well then don't give up. Find a new way to play it. Refresh it. Do something. Just because it's been heard before doesn't mean you just stop it and neglect it. That's sad. So today, while you're watching the game or when you're spending with family, I want you to praise God. Make it your ambition. Make it your ambition. Tomorrow, before anything else comes out of your mouth at work, praise Him somehow. You don't have to be the preachy, oversaved person so that when somebody says something, you respond with weird cliches. Please don't do that. I think that mars the gospel. But when it comes from a genuine place in your heart, it's sweet, even to the secular mind. They hear something good in it, even if it's foreign and weird. They're attracted to it. Nobody's attracted to hypocrites or religious folks, but they are attracted to people who are compelled by the love of Christ. So let that just flow out everywhere. Heavenly Father, we just ask you right now to put that river of living praise in us fresh today. Let it just kind of bubble up. And just like the psalmist said, let the words of our mouths and let the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight today, God. About everybody, even ourselves. What we meditate about ourselves, let it be a praise. Let what we meditate about our friends and our families, let it be praiseworthy, excellent. And Lord, whatever comes out of our mouth for our brothers and sisters in you, let it be building them up and edifying, strengthening them, and not tearing them down. Lord, let the words that come from our lips be like sweet candy for you. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Praise God. Well, what a great day. Great Super Bowl day. Before you cruise and go home, find somebody and give them some candy. Yeah!